You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. And we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And I don't think there's ever been a show where the opening is so apropos to the mood of the host. That's right, yours truly is as mad as hell, and I'm done taking this crap. We have dead teenagers. We have a community in absolute agony, dozens of lives destroyed, and we're talking about nonsense. The mainstream media could give a damn about these kids. We're going to explore that tonight. In the first hour, we'll be joined in just a moment by Joe Hagman of the Hagman and Hagman Report, heard right here on this great radio network, Global Star Radio Network. Hour number two, I'll be talking with Lisa Haven. And, oh man, is she unpopular with YouTube? Holy cow. We did a little thing on YouTube, and I put it up, and before it was even processed, uploaded, they had demonetized it. Lisa, I don't know what you did, because you're so sweet, and you're so nice, but they got her. But we're going to have a good conversation about them, those, and the powers that be. And in hour number three, we're invited Pat Wood back to talk about solutions for technocracy. That's right. We identified how far the technocratic empire had come a few weeks ago when Pat had joined us, and we said we were going to do a part two on solutions, and we're hitting that tonight. Anyway, before we get started, let me remind everybody we have some very generous sponsors here on the Common Sense Show, many of which are you. And we do appreciate your donations, and you can make those donations to P.O. Box 32, Whitman, Arizona, WITTMANN, two T's, two N's, and that is 85361, P.O. Box 32, Whitman, Arizona, 85361. And with what YouTube is doing to our revenue, man, we're scraping the barrel to meet expenses, and I think all of us in the independent media are experiencing much the same thing. I want to remind everybody about Steve Quayle's conference in Branson, Missouri. Yours truly will be there, and I just spoke with Joe before we went on air, and he and his dad, Doug, are going to be there as well, too. Come and meet us. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to be there covering the event at the request of Steve Quayle, and there is a sign-up ad on each website, both stevequayle.com and thecommonsenseshow.com. Both ads are simultaneous. They're the same. They're exactly the same price. Everything, it's very reasonably priced. It will sell out. They're ahead of last year, and they sold out last year. I guess there were over 3,000 people last year. Wow. Anyway, it's in September, but don't wait because the seats are all going to be gone. We're also brought to you by Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. Look, if you think the economy's healthy, just go get a glass of milk. I'll be done in a second. If you think there's problems with the economy, if you think inflation is going to eat up your savings, you need to convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. No, not all of it. I know you need operating expense, but take the excess. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be one of two people. You're going to be left holding the bag, or you'll be holding the bag with something good in the bag. And that's what I want you to be, is that last one. Renaissance Precious Metals. Give Steve a call tomorrow. 406-586-4842. 406-586-4842. And then, of course, we're sponsored also by Ready Made Resources. Bob Griswold, I like to call him King Prepper. He is awesome. night vision, water filtration, communications, you name it, he's got it, reasonably priced. And what really sets Bob apart, Preppers have a lot of the same products, although Bob's is top of the line. But they don't often take the time to consult with you about your needs on an individual basis. Bob Griswold does it, and unlike most, he does it for free. Go to readymaderesources.com for all your prepping needs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are, hour number one, and it's great to have Joe Hagman back on. We haven't talked to him for a few months. He's been extremely busy. He and his dad now have second radio shows. I don't know how they find the time to do it. And Joe, I want to welcome you to the show. And my goodness, are you getting any sleep at night or what?
Well, you know, we do get sleep, but it seems to be more sparse than usual. There is so much going on. As you mentioned, you know, this shooting in Florida is such an unbelievable tragedy. It is the deadliest mass shooting, school shooting in U.S. history, and we know Columbine shocked the nation in 1999. But what's happened over the last, you know, 20 years where when we had Columbine, it was really a wake-up call, but we've seen this behavior repeated now to where it's commonplace in our society. And as you noted off-air, we don't see this in any other civilization. This seems to be an exclusively an American problem. And this is, it's so terrible. You know, you have 17 parents and siblings and families and friends who are, and hundreds of people that branch out from there who are never, whose lives are changed forever. And it is a horrific thing. And we have learned, unlike Las Vegas, so much about this shooter. And I believe we will learn a lot more. But one of the most interesting and important things to note is the failure of federal law enforcement, the failure of the school and of local law enforcement. We learned that the police were called to his residence in the last 7 years 39 times. We know two separate occasions the FBI was contacted, once because of a comment he made saying he wanted to be a professional school shooter on YouTube, and a second time somebody close to him called the FBI on January 5th and said they believed he wanted to kill and he was going to shoot up the school. And we saw a failure of the FBI to follow up, possibly being able to prevent this shooting. And we can talk about how they could have done that. But really, Donald Trump finally said it today, something that I've been saying since Wednesday. It seems that the FBI has been so busy trying to nail Trump, Russia, phony collusion, that they are not doing their job in other areas, such as following up on potential threats when they get the information. Because when you see law enforcement come out and see something, say something, we need the community's help. Well, they got it this time, and nothing was done on any level.
Yeah, it's the failure starts squarely with the FBI. Multiple warnings, and you just have to wonder where their head's at. And when the left says, there's just too many conspiracy theories out there, well, this is what invites conspiracy theories. Gross, consistent incompetence, or choosing just to look the other way. And Joe, I don't know what to make of this, but let me tell you a couple things that really bother me, and I shared this with you for one on air, and I just want to throw them out there. The number of kids that are coming out now, students at the school, who said there were multiple shooters. Now, I discounted this at first because in that kind of chaotic environment, people can be mistaken. So I was quick not to jump to conclusions, but the reports are consistent. The other thing that really bothered me too, and this goes back into my expertise as a mental health practitioner, former mental health practitioner, is you have a guy who supposedly is autistic. They're treating him with psychotropic drugs, but he's hearing voices, which is schizophrenic, and the drugs he was on was not for schizophrenia. It was not for autism, as they said he had. I can't get a handle on these reports, Joe, because they are so grossly incorrect in terms of when you connect the dots about treatment. I mean, medically, they're incorrect. There's not a first-year counseling student out there who couldn't tell you that what we're hearing out of the mainstream media about the medication, the conditions, and the symptoms expressed to classmates is anything close to consistent or accurate.
Well, you know, one of the things that is overlooked and never talked about really in the context of mainstream media in these shooting events is the issue of medication and what medication it seems these shooters all share this common trait of having some sort of mental illness and on some kind of SSRI medication. And we've seen this so often from James Holmes. And then, as you said, the hearing the voices is really interesting. When you look at some of the last shooters we've seen who have heard voices, you remember the man who shot up the Fort Lauderdale airport, killing five people? He turned himself into the FBI in Alaska 6 months before this happened, telling the FBI he was hearing voices and that he believed the CIA was forcing him to join ISIS. And then 6 months later, he carries this out. The Navy Yard shooter also claimed to be hearing voices. This person claims to be hearing voices. And I don't know if some of these people do it just for their defense, as far as their criminal defense, to get the insanity plea. But I don't believe that's the case here. We see so many indicators that this guy had problems, severe problems. Even the people around him were calling the FBI tip line saying, this guy's going to shoot up a school, this guy wants to kill somebody or is going to kill somebody. All of his social media accounts are him posing with guns and knives and dead animals. I mean, the threat assessment the school never did. There's so many things that went wrong here. And if there was ever a textbook case, according to what the people who were interviewed, the kids, that it was this guy. Now, as far as multiple shooters, I saw the first video I saw of a blonde-haired woman who said she was a student, that said that she was next to the shooter and he did not have a gun when they heard shots. I found out through doing a little bit of research that she's actually 24 years old and lives in Pennsylvania, according to her Facebook page, and is married. So I don't know who interviewed that woman, but I know there are other videos of students saying this, but the one blonde lady who is saying this, she is not a student there. So that for that one, there's credibility issues. But I did hear...
So why is she even on scene then? I mean, that's even a question.
She's friends with one of the people who died on her Facebook page, but her Facebook page says she's 24, says she's married, and she's from some small town in Pennsylvania.
And she's friends with a high school student in Florida? That doesn't even make any sense.
It doesn't. It doesn't. But I'll send you over the information that I was looking at with her. But I did see other interviews of students saying that they believed two, even possibly three shooters. But, you know, I don't know. There was talk about a fire drill happening earlier in the day. Then he used the fire alarm to pull, to draw the students out. There was also talk of shooter drills that were taking place. And there's confusion to whether it was on that same day or if it was previous days where police officers were firing blanks. There's a lot of red flags here.
I saw a couple of YouTube interviews, interview statements, I should say, by students ostensibly from the school who were saying they were told there were going to be code red drills that day with the police on campus. And the word
and
code
that's
red
the shooter
was used.
Drill. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's their code for active shooter scenario.
Yeah. And so, you know, so many times we've seen these terrorist events start from a drill, and it becomes often what we refer to in the business as a snap drill. So it goes from being a drill to being a live event. I mean, the London bombings, and we could go on and on with these examples, but do you think this is another case of a drill gone bad, and this is the way they covered the setup?
You know, I don't know. I need to get more information as far as what drills were actually taking place at the school that day, but we have seen these drills, you know, go live so often, more often than not. It's really a number one indicator that there is some type of false flag government operation going on. But I don't know. I don't have the specific details. I've heard different stories. I've heard kids say that, yes, they had drills that day. And then I've heard them say they did not have drills that day. But we do know they had fire drills earlier that morning as well. So getting an accurate story as far as what happened or a schedule, that's yet to be seen. But there are a lot of interesting things that happen in certain events like this. And one of the ways that this differs from Las Vegas, as I said, was the amount of information that we're seeing. With Stephen Paddock, no motive was known, real no history. There wasn't people interviewed who knew him or who used to work with him or who pumped his gas or served his breakfast. there was nothing. And here we see the opposite. We see a flood of information, even though the social media accounts were scrubbed pretty much right away. We see a whole flood of information, and I'm sure more will be learned. But I wonder, you know, why do we see such stark differences in the way that these events are covered in the news media? And that's because the news media is complicit in so many of the crimes that we see taking place today in our society.
Well, when the Washington Post does a $600 million deal with Jeff Bezos and Amazon, who owns the Washington Post, what do you expect? This is exactly what's going on. And so, yeah, they are participants in some of these nefarious things. The one thing that really bothers me here, too, is the FBI even seems, what's the word I'm looking for? Not the least bit remorseful about their shortcomings. I mean,
yeah,
they've done
see
things,
the
they should be fired for what happened. In fact, Governor Scott from Florida has come out and said he wants the director of the FBI fired. He said that 2 days ago.
Yep.
And they're not the least bit repentant, sorry. The other thing that really stuck with me, Joe, and these are kind of peripheral issues, but I think it fits into the mindset when we evaluate what really happened, is the fact that there seems to be like a depraved indifference to the horror of the tragedy, the reality that your kid's not coming home to you, the notion that you had innocent people, young kids, just wiped out and their lives ripped away with no chance to fulfill their dreams. Where's the empathy on the part of the mainstream media? I don't see it.
No, that they don't have any. And there was no shame in, you know, before we even had an accurate count of how many victims there were, you had, you know, these hysterical, you know, media liberal lunatics calling for gun control and gun bans and politicizing this, even having the students they were interviewing, you know, make comments like, yes, we need to ban guns, and Trump, why aren't you doing something? Even Obama came out and said something about banning guns, which, you know, it's absolutely crazy. There, yes, there are things that we need to do as a society to change this, but one thing that we have to understand is that we've had guns in this country since before its inception. We've never had this problem. This was a different kind of problem. Many people will call it a mental illness or whatever. I label it as a spiritual problem. As we see, you know, immorality being promoted not only by our society, Hollywood, the media, but also in churches, when we see them, you know, attacking and removing God, and then they're hating, you know, Christians and hating white people, that we see this new talking line in the media is, and as they're promoting this gender bending, transgenderism and abortion and whatnot. This is what happens to a nation, and we see the effects of this, and I think many people might disagree, but it is a spiritual problem. It is an evil problem that we have in our society, and it's coming in many forms, and mental illness seems to be one way that this unfolds or manifests.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and the conspiracy side of me is going to come out here, Joe, because you people will notice, people who follow thecommonsenseshow.com will see, I didn't jump on this right away. I wanted to take a wait-and-see attitude, because we can always jump to the same old claims and charges that we saw with the Aurora Batman shooting and all that stuff. And I was extremely deliberate. But I mentioned the misdiagnosis, mistreatment of various conditions as reported in the mainstream media multiple times. The inconsistency of the crime scene reports. Multiple shooters or not, pulling fire alarms, live active shooter drills on campus, according to students. Students having words put in their mouth by CNN and then put on camera and say, yeah, take the guns. And then other students coming out who aren't prompted in local media saying, we need more guns. You know, Joe, here's the logic.
Yeah.
They want to take our guns. They want to take
Absolutely.
The guns. Okay, and you have to ask yourself why. And I'm going to reference what I mentioned to you before we went on air, the Democide Project of the University of Hawaii that studied the 19 genocides in the 20th century, and every one of them was preceded by gun confiscation. I'm sorry, but history is a good teacher, and I don't mean to pull out the conspiracy card every time, but my gosh, I mean, when history tells you you're 19 for 19 on genocides with gun confiscation, we should pay attention. We don't ban guns so the Russians don't attack us. We don't ban guns so we don't attack the North Koreans. Why should we ban guns in schools and have gun-free zones where people get murdered? Shouldn't we be arming teachers? Shouldn't we be arming school staff? Because this is the world we live in?
Well, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And that would obviously be a huge deterrent if shooters knew, you know, half the teachers and security guards were packing guns. Absolutely. It would be a huge deterrent. And teachers should be able to take, concealed carry, law enforcement certified concealed carry classes, and then choose to carry in the schools if they want to. I think that definitely should be mandatory in a lot of these schools. But you're going to run into problems with lawyers and unions and liability and whatnot, because as Michael Savage has been saying, the lawyers are doing a good job of continuing to destroy this country. And during the Obama administration, there were some policies laid out in the educational system as far as zero tolerance policies in schools and discipline modification plans and whatnot. And apparently, I have not done all the research into this, but apparently there is some of those same systems and programs tied into this school where this kid might have fallen through the cracks because of lax disciplinary standards as well. And also, as I said, they never followed up on their threat assessment. But you can, as you said, you can try to ban the guns. This is what historically has been done in communist China and Russia and all these other places before they've had mass genocides, which people will never go for in this country. And even if they try to ban guns, there's 300 plus million guns out there. It would be a full-on war before they were ever able to round them up. But as I said, it's not the guns that are the problem. The guns are not killing people. It's people using guns. And as long as there's people on the earth, they're going to find ways to kill each other, no matter if there are guns or not, just like there was for thousands of years before guns were ever made. So we know guns aren't the problem.
Exactly right. What are they going to do, ban butter knives? And, you could... The analogies are never ending with this ridiculous line of thinking. But Joe, here's what I come back to, and this is what I'm left with. Banning guns won't stop school shootings because you can still get guns. There's 300 million guns in America. Ban the guns, fine. Are you going to track down all 300 million and destroy them all? Of course not. So if someone really wants a gun, I don't care what the laws are. Washington, D.C. has the strictest gun laws in the country, yet they lead the nation in gun violence. It doesn't work. So what is it? I have to ask. Obviously, they're not going to be taking the guns because they want to protect students in schools. What is it that they're going to do to us that would cause us to rise up with guns? I think that's the better question.
It is a good question. And, I often go through, obviously, this isn't the purpose of the Second Amendment is to have guns and an armed society to be able to stop tyrannical governments. But I often wonder if we ever got into that kind of conflict, would our guns even be useful? Obviously, they would on a guerrilla warfare level. But with the tools and capability our government has, whether it's bioweapons or drones and bombs, you think how good you're going to be able to fight with a few AR-15s against that kind of force or bioweapons. But either way, that's not the point of the Second Amendment. And they'll never be successful at taking it away. But one thing that is infuriating when we see these events happen, as we were talking about, is the media and their instant call for gun control. One of my favorite sites for media analysts is newsbusters.org. And they highlight different instances over this weekend where ABC, NBC eagerly tout new gun control efforts by angry students. ABC hands over control of show to radical anti-gunners. We see that they're promoting these fake statistics about how many school shootings that there have been this year. They're on and on and on. The funerals haven't even happened yet, and they will never stop talking about gun control. So this is the stat, and you're never trying to evoke emotions like this. People aren't going to give in just because, they're calling for gun control and there's this tragedy. That people are less likely to give in. But nobody can come to the table and agree and have a common sense discussion about actual solutions to these problems. And instead, people are on the, extreme side. So until that changes, we're not going to see anything productive being done as far as what we can do to change this.
You just made my case about the depraved indifference. The bodies aren't even cold. and they're yeah. piling up the body count for shock effect, like we're playing some kind of slot machine and winning money. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and this is going to happen again. I mean, this is not the what we've seen. I mean, look at what happened in Sutherland Springs, Texas, just a few months ago, where a whole congregation was slaughtered by a man with a gun who should have never had a gun in the first place. He was dishonorably discharged from the military for assaulting his wife and baby child, and by the laws, he should have never been able to purchase a gun, but because of the background check failures, he was able to do that and carry that out. And there are other instances where we have people who slip through the cracks and are able to buy guns who shouldn't. And then, you know, the conspiracy side of you, you said, comes out with something like this. One thing that's interesting, there's an article on the Miami Herald, couple who took in crews. We had this monster living under our roof and we didn't know. If you go to the full article, it lists the two people who Cruz was living with. And this is, they say that they had this monster living under their roof. They didn't know, the distraught couple who took in the Florida shooter, Nicholas Cruz. You have Kimberly and James Sneed. Sneed is a military intelligence analyst, which is interesting.
Oh, boy. That's like the Batman shooter's dad was in PsyOps for the Air Force.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What an interesting coincidence that is, Joe.
Yeah, it's just something definitely to note. And, as I said, a lot of information is coming out about this event.
Since I'm not cured totally of my conspiracy paranoia, and I forgot to take my medication today, I thought I would throw this out, too. I heard this, I dismissed it, and now I have to reconsider it because of the nature of these reports. The crash of the Russian airliner, and the person that first reported this, and I'm not going to name names, but they're totally unreliable. There's someone I've rejected their information before, don't pay attention to them. But then I had one of my sources tell me, you may want to look at this a little closer. Russian airliner goes down, two people on that plane,
yeah,
and as many as three now, they're thinking, are directly connected as witnesses to Uranium-1 and selling Putin uranium, you know,
okay,
via the Clinton Foundation. Are you familiar with this?
Okay, so this was, what, maybe a week ago, we saw an Israeli jet was shot down by an Iranian drone or something like that. And then the next day, a commercial Russian craft with 72 people on board was crashed. And I did see that it was like the CFO or it was somebody in Uranium One, they said, died. That actually wasn't the person that died. The person was still alive. He was posting on Facebook. He was at some ski trip. Now, I don't know if there's other personnel.
Joey, I don't think that's it, because the guy was using a pseudonym. His real name was Pachenko.
I saw that name. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
I do know that name.
And so there was a fake name being used there. And this is also what got my attention. The man was traveling under an attempted effort to obscure his own identity, which tells me he was in fear of his life.
Yeah, and I didn't know that there actually was somebody. See, I saw when this story came out the claims that it was one name, and then that ended up being debunked, that the guy was still alive. But other people were pointing out that name you mentioned, and I never saw a reason for why that name was important. But if he was traveling under a pseudonym, that absolutely says that, you know, he did not feel safe. He didn't want anybody to know he was traveling or how he was traveling. He was trying to remain hidden. And for whatever reason, if it was something, you know, going on, like he thought that his life was in danger, that's an absolutely great reason to travel under a pseudonym.
Well, it was one day after the speculation came out on this, the Florida shooting happened. And so if I failed to take my paranoia medication, what a great way to get that off the front lines, the headlines. No headlines, we'll obscure it with something else.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Dave, that these events that can happen that dominate or capture the news cycle for 2 to 7 days, like the shooting, still, with the stories like Uranium One, the FBI and Department of Justice, corruption and sedition in what they tried to do to Donald Trump, those stories are never going to go away. Those are the kind of stories that will continue to pop up as soon as interest is lost in the shooting story. Like Monday would be a perfect opportunity to see a story about this kind of thing, and that for it to get traction. I think a lot of people are locked in to what's been going on. And if we can, one thing I'd like to mention is Jeff Sessions. I don't know where you fall on Jeff Sessions, but I watched an interview that he did yesterday, I believe, with some woman on Fox News. I think it was a judge Jeanine, maybe. And I was shocked. I don't have much confidence in Sessions as an attorney general. He might be a nice person, a good man. I don't know. But as attorney general, I am shocked that he is still recusing himself from this whole Russia ordeal. If I was him, I mean, these people are still working in the FBI, in the DOJ, knowingly using bad political opposition research, basically Hillary Clinton buying a warrant, presenting it as intelligence information to spy on the Donald Trump campaign. These are felonies, and Jeff Sessions is twiddling his thumbs, you know, talking about how he's going to go after marijuana. What is going on with the Justice Department?
Well, I can... You ask me, be careful when you ask me a question, because I might really give you an answer, Joe. I've been very outspoken for the last several months about Jeff Sessions needs to be gone. Either the deep state has something on him, or he's part of them. And in fact, when I started printing these stories, it coincided with a brief time that I was interacting with Larry Nichols. And, Nichols was giving me information from the inside in the past on the Clinton people. And nothing like firsthand, here's what they're really like, I've seen it up front and personal. And I was coming out with my own work and publishing at the time and started to say, Sessions needs to be gone. Donald Trump, wake up. Fire this guy. Larry Nichols told Paul Martin and another colleague of ours, and also express this to me, and they heard this. I mean, we're talking, this is a witness conversation now, where, excuse me, Sessions personally called Nichols and screamed at him for giving me inside information, which he did not do, not about Sessions. About the Clintons, yes. Sessions, no. That's a man that has something to hide. For him to react that way, like I'm not capable of finding any open source intelligence on the internet. For him to react that way is damning in itself. I think the deep state has something on him. That's my best guess. I don't know what it would be, but his behavior is suspicious, and you're right. It doesn't make any sense, so we have to start looking for plausible alternatives.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it is, but Jeff Sessions, in my opinion, is not doing his job. And with the level of lawlessness that we've seen inside the Obama administration, from Susan Rice to the head of the FBI, Comey and Strauch and the DOJ and Rosenstein and Bruce Orr and Fusion GPS, mm-hmm. all these people need to be indicted. There needs to be grand juries impaneled. There needs to be criminal charges brought down. And this whole investigation by Robert Mueller is a sham. I believe that the PR battle for him is lost. That was what he was trying to do by issuing indictments on 13 Russians and a few Russian entities. It's all smoke and mirrors. There's no, there's nothing there. And even many people are arguing that they are saying that that vindicates Trump, because they said no Russians were wittingly involved in any of whatever Russia tried to do. Basically, they're accused of creating social media accounts and promoting Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, and then disparaging both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. It's a bunch of nothing. But, you know, they continue, mm-hmm. and they're moving outside of the scope of what the... At first it was Russian hacking, then it was Russian meddling, then it was Russian collusion, which isn't even a crime. Now there is none of that after a year of conspiracy theory hype from the insane media, and now they're going for an obstruction charge because that's all they think they can get, and even that is garbage. If they come out with it, the American people are not going to buy it, but that doesn't stop the rabid left and the entertainment industry with their non-stop onslaught of Donald Trump.
You know, I did a little research on this, and I did a podcast on it up on the Common Sense Show, Common Sense Show YouTube site. And I came to the same conclusion pretty much that you did, Joe. I was watching the news conference live with my wife. I kept falling asleep This is okay. My wife was chastised. How could you sleep through this? I said, because it's a lot of nothing. There's nothing here. It's against the law for the Russians to go on the internet that America does not own and try to influence political opinion. So I went and did some research, okay, and I found that there are at least 81 instances where the United States government, in particular the CIA, since World War II, have circumvented legitimate election results for their own political ends. 81
times. Does that include overthrowing leaders and countries?
Yeah. You know, like the Iran situation and the one that installed the Shah of Iran. It's, Joe, it never ends. The duplicity is insane. But the Russians, listen, I'm not a fan of Russia. People who follow me know this. But what they did, if they did it, is not a crime.
Yeah. No, and it's insane. We see what's happening with also in Israel with Netanyahu being attacked by the media and by phony corruption charges. But we, as a government, have even the Obama administration meddled in the Israeli election, interfered in the last election in Israel, and we've overthrown so many nations, so many dictators, so many leaders. Even Hillary Clinton's State Department overthrowing Libya, killing Gaddafi. We came, we saw, he died, and laughing about it like it's some joke.
Yeah.
But here you have, as you said, some Russians allegedly on the internet creating fake Facebook accounts, and somehow this is some grand conspiracy of Russia interfering in our election. What the one thing that happened is the Department of Homeland Security was caught trying to hack into local state election systems like Tennessee and Georgia and a few others. It wasn't anything to do with the Russians. And Hillary Clinton and the crooked media basically tried to steal the election as they did the primary. And nobody's getting in trouble. Again, Sessions is on the sidelines, but what do we see? Trump under investigation. None of this makes sense in any real world, and I don't know how this charade can continue the way it is, because it is absolutely so out of the realm of any sane, common sense line of thought that Trump's the only one under investigation, and all these other people who conspired and broke laws against him, misusing and abusing the positions inside top law enforcement and other agencies of our federal government, still have their jobs. And there is no investigations into this. And we have proof of this, but there's no proof of Trump-Russia collusion, yet they talked about it for the last year and a half as though there was, and there's still nothing there. So it's all upside down.
Well, the failure in the Trump leadership here is the fact that Jeff Sessions is still the Attorney General. That's number one. And number two, the fact that the FBI director still has his job. I mean, he should have been fired the day of. And this is a failure in Trump's leadership. I mean, he has come out against the FBI on this, but he has not acted decisively. And this is what the American people need to see. This is how you cut into the deep state. I mean, what is it that Eric Holder said? Don't let a good crisis go to waste. Well, this is a crisis that we're not talking about exploiting people's deaths, but taking the situation and begin to cleanse the deep state that infiltrates your major organizations in an attempt to restore some sanity. And Trump is missing a golden opportunity here.
Well, this is one of the problems with, talking about draining the swamp and whatnot, is Trump is only one man. And I don't think until he got into office did he really understand the depth of the swamp and how deep it really runs. And I say that just by looking at some of the appointments that he's made. And I think he's kind of neutered both by staff and by kind of the media in a way, because, he fired James Comey. And you're right, I would fire Rod Rosenstein. I'd fire Jeff Sessions. I would clean house. But if he started to do that, I'd even fire Robert Mueller. I think he fears the worst, that the media would continue to harp on him. They're looking for any opportunity they can to impeach him. Like right now, with the failures of the FBI overlooking the school shooting details, even if Trump fired his FBI director, which I don't think he would, would the nation react with outrage, and the media obviously would. They don't care. They're hypocrites. They're outraged by things that they would support under Obama that Trump does, but they're looking for any and every way to get rid of him, and he's treading very lightly, I believe, and he's surrounded by snakes, and we need more than one man to be able to do this. This has to be a community effort, and if we rely and expect Trump to be the only one doing this, we're setting ourselves up for failure, because they can take him out in a number of ways at any time, and then what? Does the movement die because the one man is removed? It can't be like that. We all need to be on the front lines.
Interesting. You're right on the money with that analysis, Joe. I think you're spot on. The reason I'm groping for words here is because it's so obvious the power play that's on for America right now. And what's bothering me is we know where the Democrats lie. They've sold their soul to the deep state for personal profit gain and political prestige. No question. Now, the Republicans are joining them. You got Mitt Romney that came out today and said there needs to be better gun control. Did you see that?
No, I did not see that. To be honest, I haven't really watched the news for the last 2 days. I've been kind of taking a break. But I have seen Mitt Romney. It was in the news. He's making a run for Senate in Utah. And I don't know if he has a primary challenger, but I urge everybody to get out there and vote against Mitt Romney. He is, you know, when we talk about the swamp, he is the McCain. He is the Lindsey Graham. He is the problem. One of the things that make Republicans, see, at least the Democrats are open and honest about their ideology and what they believe in, so it's easy to identify them and go against them and know that their ideology is dangerous. But one thing that's really difficult that we see in our party is that it is filled with snakes in the grass, and these are people that, you know, proclaim Christian conservative values, but in reality they promote, you know, the evil deep state swamp mentality. And we see that with people like Mitt Romney.
No, you're right on the money, Joe. They do promote the evil deep state mentality, which shows you how they own both sides of the aisle. Mitt Romney's not alone. Other GOP members of Congress came out today and said pretty much the same thing. We need to have gun control. It's so frustrating. I hate political parties, but I have to tell you, I've kind of lean towards the Republicans just so you could have a base, because the Democrats are so obvious anti-America, anti-American exemplarance, anti-American
right.
welfare benefit.
And many of the Republican citizens of this country who are Republican are not, you know, the rhinos, are not the corrupted swamp deep state people. They're you know, God-fearing Christian conservatives. And that is one thing. If we could only have a way to input into the Senate and the House average, everyday, you know, business-owning Americans instead of the politicians we have, I think we could really get a lot done.
Well, you know, where I really saw how bad the Republicans were, this isn't a total shock to me, because during the primary election, you may remember this, we had a discussion, I think I was on your show, and I talked about Corey Hoagland. And his wife even wrote to me and chastised me for calling him out. And what did Hoagland say? He said, we don't care how the people vote. We're going to choose who the Republican presidential candidate will be. Do you remember that, Joe? And right there,
yeah.
I thought, that's deep state stuff.
Yeah.
That was kind of my wake-up call to just how far it had gone. That you millions of people that voted in the primaries, you don't matter. We'll tell you how it's going to be. And it's going to be what the deep state tells us it's going to be.
Yeah, and we see examples of this, like the what we saw in Alabama with Roy Moore. Charles Strange. They wanted Strange to be the Republican senator from there, but the people voted for Roy Moore, and then we saw the onslaught of accusers rolled out with fake stories. And then in other ways, voters and voting is made useless, basically. Remember in California, there were two different statues, one on illegal immigration. I forget which number that was. And then there was Prop 8, the homosexual marriage. California voted to not legalize legalize homosexual marriage by an overwhelming majority, and the Supreme Court overturned their vote as unconstitutional. And they did the same thing with immigration. So our vote, why do we even bother voting if our votes are going to be overturned by judges in the end? And then we see what we saw with the 2016 election. Even, I believe they manipulated and lied for Hillary Clinton so much, I don't believe she got even half the support that they said she did. If you saw her crowds at her rallies, there was no enthusiasm there. Nobody wanted to see her. Nobody cared about her. And at Trump, he was packing stadiums. And I believe, you know, there was many more people who voted for Trump than Hillary Clinton, but the popular vote was very even.
Well, I've asked people inside the Republican Party. In fact, I had a conversation with Congressman Paul Gosar back on the 27th of January. I've referenced this in writing as a personal communication. And we talked about DACA, amnesty, and he said the Democrats, and I totally agree with this because my research finds the same thing. He said the 1.8 DACA people who will become Democrats are not enough for the Democrats to win a general election, even with the voter fraud they were able to carry out against Hillary. He said, Congressman Gosar said, they need 10 million. This is why the chain migration issue is so hot. See, the Democratic Party is dead. It's dead and done. Hillary is a walking ghost. But they need 10 million illegals to become citizens. But the Republicans are shooting themselves in the foot by following in the Democrats' footsteps with regard to this gun confiscation issue.
Yeah, and the Democrats and the ideology of the left have basically alienated their whole base by attacking traditional nuclear families, by attacking white males, by attacking God, borders, language, culture, anything to do with anything other than minorities or immigration or anti-Donald Trump. They have no new ideas. They can't win arguments with common sense. They don't have, they're so far gone mentally. It's insane to watch. And then they just continue to double down with this, you know, social justice, politically correct movement that is just unbelievable, the heights of insanity that we've reached. And they can't win in the battlefield of ideas and arguments. So this is what they are reduced to.
Well, you're right. This is what they're reduced to. The people aren't buying it. But people like Mitt Romney are confusing the public. Where do they turn? And see, Joe, this is the mentality. People aren't prepared to be independent voters. They feel they have to align with the party because this is how they've been conditioned since they were raised. You got to be a Republican or a Democrat. This is how we get entrapped as a people because we keep voting for the same philosophies.
And when you see people like Ron Paul, who ran in the 2012 and 2008 presidential elections as an independent, in the 2012 election, he in the primary, he started to gain momentum and win caucuses in states. And if you remember, then they started to manipulate his numbers, and he lost that momentum because they don't allow those third-party people to get in. And I remember reading stories about in 1991, Ross Perot ran as an outsider against Clinton and Bush. I think it was Clinton and Bush. And his life, his family was threatened, so he basically had to drop out at the last minute. And they believed that it was George Bush who threatened him because he was getting, 30-plus percent support, and that was going to take away Bush's chance to win. So they don't allow for people to be independent thinkers. And unless you, as what some people call, are red-pilled, unless you awake from the mind manipulation, the psychological warfare that we subject ourselves to by watching TV, then no, you're never going to break away and think independently, and you're never going to see how deceived and manipulated you were. And I don't know what it takes for people to snap out of it, but we all remember the moments or the roughly the time period we started to look at things differently. But we need to figure out what that is so we can trigger as many people back to reality as possible.
That's very well said, Joe. Well, we're just about out of time, and you got a lot going on, so I want to give people an opportunity to be able to follow more closely what you and your dad are doing. First of all, let me start you off. The Hagman & Hagman Report airs here on this great network, Radio Global Radio Star Network, from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. It's one of the best shows, if not the best show out there on radio. But you and your dad have your own ventures right now, don't you?
Yeah, we have our own radio shows independently. We have the Doug Hagman Radio Show, which airs 9 to 10 a.m. on Global Star, as well as Blog Talk Radio, and it's archived there. And then the Hagman Daily Show, 2 to 3 p.m. with John Robertson and myself, and that is also Global Star Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Then Hagman Report each every night on video through Global Star Radio. You can go to HagmanReport.com and click the Watch Now button. And we have Hagman Report, the website, SoundCloud, iTunes, podcasts. And we will also be at the True Legends Conference in September. And we have an upcoming conference, the Occupy Conference, in April. You can go to HagmanReport.com for details there.
Yeah, that's... it's going to be such, these are such great conferences. I cannot wait for Branson. I really can't. I'm so grateful to Steve for inviting me to be his guest, and the people that are there, phenomenal stuff. Joe, we're kind of where we always end. We got problems, and more people need to start taking action. If there's one thing everyone could do before we close, one thing that the general public could do, what would that be?
Well, that's a great question. You can, I would say, share information, you know, start dialogues with neighbors and other people to kind of gauge where they're at and, you know, try to understand, you know, if they're a far-gone liberal and why, or, you know, engage people in a polite way that you can kind of figure out where the people around you and society in general is at mentally, and then see if you can, you know, plant the seeds that can be watered to help them snap out of this deception.
So just be yourself and tell a story. That sounds pretty easy.
Yeah, but you also have to understand that when you do run into somebody who's a, you know, rabid Hillary Clinton supporter, that you're probably not going to win any arguments with common sense, and that will dissolve very quickly. But you'd be surprised at how many people also can have discussions even though they're on the other side of the aisle than you.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes.
My BS meter is pretty high, Joe. And I have to tell you, I've broached the subject a couple times, and you see the facial. You go, no. I had a woman one time, I suggested that CNN was a little on the bias side, and I got a 5-minute diatribe on how great CNN is.
And,
and we still have those people out there. Well, Joe, I really appreciate you joining us. It's been far too long since you've been on, and we're going to have to do this again sooner rather than later. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, and it's been a lot of fun. Have a great night.
Really has. Joe Hagman, ladies and gentlemen, of the Hagman & Hagman Report. And, man, are they inundating the airwaves. And I forgot to ask Joe, how's your YouTube going? Well, we already know. When you guys are up on YouTube, share what Joe and Doug do. Hopefully you'll share what I do, because they have killed our organic traffic. They truly have. It's just, I look at it like a badge of honor. They are saying to you, too many people are listening, and we don't want you telling these stories, so we're going to try to keep you from the people. Anyway, we're going to be back in hour number two with my friend Lisa Haven, who YouTube also hates. See you in hour number two.